Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I got to thinking, girl, you ain't much.
It is the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. Tommy Wirtz here with the Packers' all-time leading scorer, Mr. Mason Crosby. And joining the show now, Green Bay Press Gazette, joining us here on the Fan Milwaukee, like every day now. We tricked him. He is always going to be here. Ryan Wood joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. Good morning, Ryan. Happy Monday.
How we doing, guys? How's your Monday going?
Very good. We just kicked it off with some Toby Keith that you couldn't hear right there. Country Mondays kind of is like a thing here.
It's our thing, yeah.
We try to have some sort of originality. But, Ryan, after another Sunday in the books, I am ready to say some crazy reckless things about the Green Bay Packers.
Whoa.
Really reckless. Yeah.
I'm sitting down.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that they're way better than everyone else. Like, I can't even.
That's not even that reckless.
I mean,
you're not even that crazy.
Let's not get weird right away. Okay?
Yeah.
Keep it calm now.
Ryan, we were looking over at the Potawatomi Sportsbook betting odds. The Green Bay Packers have a better chance to win the Super Bowl than the Brewers have to win the World Series, and the Brewers have the best record in baseball with, like, a less than a month left into the season. Like, that's how good everyone is feeling about the Packers. Am I justified for this, Ryan?
When I hear that, where my mind goes is that, okay, yes, the Brewers, I mean, my God, they've been unbelievable. But baseball is such a crapshoot in October, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like football, there's more stability in terms of what to expect. You get to the playoffs in football, and usually it's like the top two or three teams. Like, it's not.
You kind of know who they are, yeah.
Yeah, baseball. Who the hell knows? Like, it makes no sense in baseball sometimes who actually makes runs and who doesn't. So that's where my mind goes. But how about this? And I'm going to break my rule because I understand in the game of football, every week is an island, right? In the NFL, the transitive property does not exist.
Yep.
But let's just have some fun, right? Why not?
It was a
long weekend. We all had some rest, ready to have fun. The Packers beat the Lions and Commanders by a combined score of 54-31.
Yep.
The Commanders beat the Giants and the Lions beat the Bears by a combined score of 73-27. That's wild to me. The only way that you could have been less impressed by the Packers 2-0 start is if you kind of came out of it thinking, ooh, maybe the Lions and Commanders aren't that good. Oh, no. No, they're really good.
Yeah.
The Packers just smacked them.
Yep.
That's what happened.
And again, here's my little, like, you know, okay, bring us back to reality, so we're not in fantasy land, is now the Packers have to go on the road. Like, they were at home. Like, again, Lions put up 52, let's be honest, against probably a really bad Bears team, but they put up 52 after not being able to do anything against the Packers in that week one. But they were in Lambeau Field. And that bodes well, though. That's what you want. You want to protect Lambeau Field. You want to dominate at home, and then you go and you scrap and you grind and you grit. You know, grit out wins on the road. It's not going to always be pretty on the road. You got to go on the road and do well. So, take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. Yes, Packers got to start off the season two home games, but again, like you said, two really good teams, and that's what I said in the first segment. I mean, Commanders. You know, they dominated the Giants and, like, made them, like, they couldn't do anything. Giants couldn't do anything on offense. They were thinking about benching Russell Wilson. And then he goes against the Cowboys, who played the Eagles really well, and they put up 40 points. And Russell Wilson throws for 500 yards. I mean, this NFL is crazy. And like you said, it's a week in, week out proposition. But I mean, we aren't false in being really high on this Packers team. And I think we need to take breaths, and we got to make sure. But I'm really excited to see how they go on the road and how they have success in a weird place like Cleveland, especially for their first road test. Do you feel the same way about that?
Yeah, I mean, the road is always going to be something that every team wants to figure out, and they're going to have to. Yeah, but one of the on the macro level, one of the weird things about this schedule to me is that the hardest games this season are at home. Right, we just saw the first two. The Philadelphia Eagles come to Lambeau Field. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens come to Lambeau Field. You look at the road schedule; it's like the Browns. It's a Cowboys team that needed overtime at home to beat the Giants. And I understand that Russell Wilson had a career day, but also Russell Wilson had a career day against this Cowboys defense. You know, it's other than Detroit Thanksgiving, where is like the gauntlet road test for this team this season? Yeah. I don't really see it, right? The hardest opponents, the hardest strength of schedule is at home this season, which bodes really well for this team. I think if you take a step back and you ask, barring the fluky, which can happen obviously in this league, the unforeseen, when's the next time that they have a loss? The hardest road game of the season outside of Detroit might be Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers, obviously waiting.
Yeah,
there.
There's going to be some drama, some emotion there.
Denver at the back end, maybe, Ryan?
Yeah, Denver the back end. Yeah, that Pittsburgh game's a night game, too. So night game in Pittsburgh is – that's always something to – it's a little different than 1 p.m. in Cleveland, right? So when you're looking out on the – this just seems like this is a team that's going to have the chance to rack up a ton of wins. A lot of wins in the win column, and it's still zero in the loss column. The opportunity is there, which is really good because if you ask me, I mean, after seeing this weekend games Sunday, it's early and it's way too early to say anything definitive, but it sure seems like the NFC is kind of on this collision course of the Eagles-Packers rematch. Maybe an NFC Championship game. Those two teams seem like the two best teams in this conference, barring any injuries. And the fact that you get the Eagles in the middle of November at home, that looms as a really big game as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I'm looking down that schedule. I mean, at Broncos, I feel like at Lions, at Broncos are maybe the only tough, like the toughest road tests. Again, you go to Pittsburgh, that's tough, Sunday night. Like, yeah, it's going to be tough. We'll see how they kind of unfold. At Cardinals, gosh, I wish I could go on that road trip. I love going to Arizona. But at Cowboys, always had success. Yeah, I mean, it's literally, it lays out perfect for this team. But I'm excited to see them go on the road. And again, I think that will, any like question marks, any haters that are just kind of saying like, well, I don't know, you know, like it's first couple games, like these next two games before the bye, if they go 4-0 going into that bye week, they go on the road for two of those games, dominate on the road. I mean, this team will be the front runner until someone proves otherwise, right? Until they lay an egg.
Yeah, it's them and it's the Eagles, because you know the Eagles are kind of in the same situation. Obviously, they're also the reigning Super Bowl champion, so someone has to dethrone them.
Yep.
But if you're looking at the first 2 weeks and who's got the best chance of dethroning them, it's clearly the Packers. Where are the holes on this roster?
Yeah.
You haven't seen any through the first 2 weeks, and I get, you know, if you wanted to nitpick their first two games, you'd say, okay, well, they got up to a 27-6 lead against the Lions, and then they gave up the garbage time touchdown, I guess. They got up to a 27-10 lead against the Commanders, and they gave up the touchdown. They didn't really forcefully put these teams away. Well, first of all, those are two good teams. It's hard. Yeah. It's really hard to just forcefully put two good teams away. That's good teams don't allow that, and that's what they are. Secondly, that's what Matt LaFleur has to work on is, okay, you didn't slam the door shut on 27-10 against Jaden Daniels. Like, that's the biggest knock so far. It's not much of a knock. The sample size is going to grow, and maybe this week they mess around a little bit, and okay, they overlook the Browns, and it's closer than you think, and okay, maybe there's a hole there, but this is another – you want to talk about forcefully putting a team away? That's what it is to me. Can they go into Cleveland, and can they just shut the door
on? Yeah.
Can they blow?
Cleveland's defense is good. You know, they're not. Horrible. I mean,
Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard. It's hard to blow out teams in this league, and this is an opportunity for them to do that potentially this weekend.
Yeah, I totally agree. We got Ryan Wood on the Mason Crosby Show, as he is every Monday at 9:20. Check him out at By Ryan Wood. And we're talking Packers. We're talking about they're the best in the NFC right now. Oh man, I want to get your opinion, because we were talking about Eagles, you know, being the other team, and rightfully so. And then, you know, there's the tush push conversation that comes back up, rears its ugly head. And again, I was a proponent. I'm like, just suck it up, like, you know, defend the play. I think they ran it what, 5 times in that fourth quarter against the Chiefs. But I will say, and they're like, there were evidence where some of the offensive linemen were starting early. And I'm like, yes, if they false start, they should call that. But I don't believe that they're lined up, you know, illegally. Like, if they're illegally lined up, throw the flag. Like, that, all that stuff should be called. But the play itself, you know, I have no issue with. But then, like, I saw one, like, Chiefs fan or somebody putting something. They're like, well, they're false start. Like, the, you know, the Eagles are jumping early. Literally, one of the Chiefs guys is – like across the line of scrimmage before the ball snapped. So I'm like, you can't have it both ways, and you can't complain both ways. What is your opinion? Because I haven't asked you this. What's your opinion of the tush push? And, you know, how do you think teams with enough complaint, do you think refs with enough complaining will eventually start calling some of illegal formation or, you know, offside, you know, false starts and things like that down the stretch against this Eagles
well,
team.
And will the Packers, like, stop being this scapegoat of this team who was trying to stop this play, and everyone's now pissed off about it, Ryan, too? Like,
well, the Chiefs are involved now. Like, they feel like they got, you know, kind of abused with it yesterday, so they'll jump on that bandwagon.
Exactly.
As well.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Well, obviously the tush push was all the rage when I went down to the NFL owners meeting in Florida this spring. And yes, the Packers were the team that proposed the ban. But what, it was like 2 votes short of passing.
Right.
So there was a lot of people on the Packers bandwagon there. They had a lot of support. It's not like the Packers were out alone on their own little island. Right.
And Mark Murphy's on his way out. No owner wanted to, like, put their name on it. So they're like, all right. Mark's like, yeah, I'll do this on my, you know, on my way out. I'll say it for the rest of y'all.
Now, I said then, and I still believe now, first, the 2 primary reasons that were cited for the push of the ban was, 1, not a football play, it looks like rugby, and 2, safety concerns. I don't see how the tush push is more dangerous than any other play in the sport. I mean, the sport is inherently dangerous.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that, signs up for that. I don't see how it's more dangerous. 2, I don't see how it's not a football play, because they are able to run this play in the confines of football rules. And if you can run a play in the confines of football rules, yep, and there's a football on the field, it's 11 on 11, that's a football play. Totally. What I think the push was, and I fault nobody for this because it's a competitive league, I think it's become an unstoppable play. And in a competitive league, you want to ban a play that nobody can stop. And I understand that reasoning. I think the Packers and the rest of the league that were in favor of this were right. I mean, there's an unstoppable play. You want to stop it. It is a competitive game. That's maybe the only way to stop it. The biggest issue to me, the one I think legitimate point of gripe, is it just seems like officials are overwhelmed in trying to correctly officiate this play. You go back to the NFC Championship game, that was a cluster, right? And the cluster was the officials, it was all over the place. They didn't know how to rein that in. It got to the point, I've never seen this before, where they had to say, okay, if this continues, if there's another penalty here, it's just going to be a free touchdown.
Like, which was wild, yeah.
That's not the answer. Like, that is officiating, waving the white flag. I mean, like, I don't know, I give up, I can't do it. If your officials are that overwhelmed, something has to change, right? Because you can't. I made the comparison last night. It feels like NBA officials trying to officiate Shaq in his prime, where he's just so much bigger, so much more dominant than everyone else. It's like, I don't know, help! Like that's the officials are crying for help with this play, and if they are, they're very good officials at this level. You know,
sure, yeah.
You saw what happened when they had the replacement refs come in. Like, officials are very, very good. If they need help, you should probably help them.
We're here with Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at By Ryan Wood. Mason, go ahead, follow up.
Ryan, yeah, my question there too is, like, it's all it's going to take, or what it's going to take, is a bold referee throwing a flag on the Eagles. Like, again, if it is illegal, if it's like they're lined up wrong or they're doing illegal things, a ref needs to throw a flag and say you were lined up, you know, in the neutral zone. You were lined up illegally. You false started. Like, throw the flag, move them back 5 yards. They're not running the tush push from, you know, they lose 5 yards. They're not doing it again in that moment, right? And then they're going to have to adjust a little bit. So why aren't the refs throwing the flag? If it's illegal and everyone's upset about it, they're lined up wrong. That's what I don't understand, is like the people like, oh, they're lined up illegally and all that. It's like, if they were lined up illegally, like, refs would throw the flag. That's a pretty easy one to call. And I do think, and I saw the one that people are pointing at yesterday, where some of their offensive linemen did start going a little early. Yes, you should throw it there. But my thing was, like, if they ban the tush push, they have to ban QB sneaks in general. Just ban QB sneaks. If you think everybody lined up, everyone knows when the quarterback's going to QB sneak it, and they try to hustle up there, just ban it so that, like, that doesn't, you know, that's not a thing anymore. Let's go back to, if it's fourth and one, you have to hand the ball off to the running back and go.
Like you cannot receive the snap under center and advance the ball. Yeah, like, that you would have, like
a second person has to, or a third person has to touch the
ball. You could run out of shotgun if you want to do that, but as far as being underneath center, you cannot advance the ball if you receive the snap. I think we just saw it. We should run the NFL.
That's what I said last year. That's what I said when they were, like, reviewing this. I'm like, you have to ban the QB sneak if you ban the tush push, in my opinion.
Doesn't that just make for a more exciting game? What you guys are describing right there.
Right.
Because let's be honest, the QB sneak's not all that enthralling either. Right? I mean, if you want to talk about a boring play.
I mean, Bengals scored, right? Got pushed over the line, and Browning, like, you know, got basically thrown over the top of the line. Like, talk about dangerous. Somebody comes and hits him right in the face.
The NFL's uprooted its kickoff to a point where I think it's on to something. I mean, for 2 weeks, there's been so many more kickoff returns. Finally, it's like teams decided, okay, 35-yard line for touchbacks is the line. We're not going to give you the 35. We're going to kick it short of the end zone and make you return it now. So they have. It's been a few years that they have uprooted the kickoff, and because it became a boring play. They wanted more excitement in the game, and they finally got there. Maybe that's the answer there. Now, I'm more of a purist. I don't have a problem with the tush push. I don't have a problem with QB sneaks. Yes, I understand it's more boring, but it's also kind of just there's something about the brute physicality of that play, just, you know, mano a mano and knock each other back and who wins. I mean, that to me is part of football. It needs to be officiated correctly. A false start is still a false start on the tush push.
Totally. Yeah.
I don't know what the right answer is. This isn't a good answer either, but maybe it comes to the point of, okay, in a tush push situation, false starts are now reviewable because they're in such close quarters. There's so many moving elements happening so quickly, and it's not like blatant false starts. Like, when you're spread out in 11 personnel and you get a good view of the offensive line, it's pretty clear when someone flinches. That's pretty easy. When Laramie Tunsil had a false start with Micah Parsons lined up against him last Thursday night, everyone in the stadium could see Laramie Tunsil backing up. It's a little different in the tush push because it is so close quarters, and it is such bang-bang play. But maybe because of that, you have to make that reviewable because if you allow Philadelphia Eagles guards to get a quick jump on snap,
it's
already an unstoppable play. Now it's even more unstoppable than unstoppable. No one's stopping that, and that's not what the NFL wants.
Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show, at by Ryan Wood on Twitter X. Ryan, I want to ask you just about yesterday real quick to get off the tush push, talking about the rest of the NFC North. And I had asked before, I don't know if you were in the waiting room when you heard this, like, what situation would you rather be in this season, just for this year, if you're looking at Bears-Vikings? Because yesterday, the Bears, you know, they get absolutely destroyed by the Lions, who a week ago, everyone was like, oh, Ben Johnson, it was all Ben Johnson. It was all only Ben was the reason why their offense was good. Well, turns out that was wrong. They just put up 50 right after that. And then the Vikings, who have this amazing fourth quarter, have really played one good quarter of football all season long, and their quarterback wears eye black, and I'm not really a fan of it personally, Ryan. So, like, looking at those two situations, like, who's in a worse spot right now? I understand the Bears are 0-2 and the Vikings are 1-1, but I feel like the Bears maybe have even been more impressive, even though they lost to the Vikings.
Yeah, it's tough when they're the team that lost to the Vikings, and now all of a sudden that J.J. McCarthy fourth quarter looks less impressive because it was against the Bears, right? That
right.
Bears gave up 52 to the Lions. So, okay, their defense might be so bad that even J.J. McCarthy can throw against it. I think the answer to that question is, which quarterback long-term are you more impressed with, J.J. McCarthy or Caleb Williams? Which guy do you feel is more talented?
Do you have an answer? Because it feels like you don't even want to answer that question.
Pause. Now, fill in the blank.
I still feel like Caleb Williams has shown talent. Now, he's a maddening quarterback to watch because, my goodness, kid, can you stay on time?
Yeah.
Just half the time, please. Just, more than occasionally actually work and operate within the rhythm and timing of the offense. And it just doesn't seem like he can do that. But you like a quarterback that is naturally gifted when it comes to extending plays. That's obvious that in this league, that's what separates the guys that are just guys, the guys that can go out and win games. We saw that for years and years and years with Aaron Rodgers. He has that ability to extend plays. He has that natural athletic ability that that throw that J.J. McCarthy missed down the left side, wide open last night, that is a layup in this league that if you cannot hit that throw, you cannot play at this level. And it's just one throw. We haven't seen a large enough sample size of J.J. McCarthy yet. I'm not seeing it there, guys. I'm not seeing it there. The fourth quarter in Chicago, notwithstanding, seven other quarters, it's been bad.
Bad. And
not just like struggling, like bad.
So I don't know. Is a 20.4 QBR, is that bad? Is that bad for J.J. McCarthy? Like, I do think, and I think it was him, I saw this on Twitter today, and I tell me if this is real or not, but they literally said his, I think his QB, like his rating, would be better had he just spiked the ball every time.
It's like 39.6 if you have all incompleted passes, no turnovers, no nothing.
He was like 37.8 or something like that.
Oh, my gosh. That's just ridiculous. You know,
I think the most disappointing thing for the Bears and Caleb Williams is they just spent an entire offseason trying to revamp this offensive line, and you would not be able to tell at all. My biggest takeaway, I've watched quite a bit of Vikings and Bears, so I've watched both their games this season. My biggest takeaway is both these kids are going to get themselves killed against Micah Parsons. I mean, these offensive lines have no chance against the Packers pass rush. It's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
And the Bears just tried to fix that this offseason. They did. Yeah. I mean, the low point against the Lions was two QB sneaks on third and fourth and one, and they couldn't get a yard on either play with this new offensive line. How are these guys going to block the Packers? I don't see how they're going to just man up and pass bro and be able to keep this pass rush off their quarterbacks.
I totally agree. Yeah, I was right there with you, Ryan, in this offseason. I'm like, oh, man, the Bears they're getting that offensive line right. And that was a big issue. And so it's like, I in the back of my mind, coming into this season, I'm like, you know, Bears are going to be better. I wouldn't say that publicly. And now I'm glad I didn't say it publicly because they are horrible. I mean, they are bad. Again, we were like, oh, Vikings Bears might be decent. Like, that was a good game. You know, Vikings fought back. Like, these teams might be better. They proved us, you know, wrong again this week. And yeah, I'm just interested to see which one of those teams can take a better step, you know, in the right direction. And it's the only time we'll tell. And again, Packers don't play either one of those teams until way late in the season.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to wait a long time to see what that Packers versus the Bears and Vikings games and like what that pass rush looks like. And they better be trying to shore up that protection, or it's just going to be a field day for this Packers
team.
Well,
and Ryan, you talked about it like, oh, we all love the quarterback that has the ability to extend plays and improvise. I mean, if they were just trying to do that, they would have stuck with Justin Fields, right? I mean, like, someone who absolutely can do that, but was never got the timing right, never got the rhythm right, and it ultimately didn't work out. Now, let's see how things go in New York. He's had some fun and exciting plays, but ultimately, he is 0-2 now as well to start the season. Ryan, thank you so much. Anything you're working on you want to plug?
not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we see you again in a week, like Bears, we'll talk again more when it's Browns, Packers. We've had a couple of days to marinate and talk a lot of Packers recap stuff. What you got working on? You heading to Cleveland this week? When you go to Cleveland?
Yeah, Saturday I'll be in Cleveland, and here in a couple hours, and less than that, I'll be back out at Clark Hinkle Field for practice.
Nice.
The Packers are getting back at it today. It's a Monday, so they get a kind of an extra day of work after their rest this weekend. So make sure you go to Packers News for all coverage.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ryan. Have a good rest of your day. Let's do it again next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
I appreciate it, Ryan.
There he is, Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call. That's all. I think Ryan is going to get so sassy by the end of the year with us. You can just
we'll
feel
get him
it.
Fired up.
Oh, yeah, you can feel it, man. He's going to get sassy, I can tell. Let's wrap up the 9 o'clock hour. On the other side, we'll recap and review anything we missed in the NFL season. Drew Wagner will join us for a little bit at 10 o'clock as he broke some news yesterday.
Yeah,
our guy,
big,
Drew Wagner. Big J, Smoking J, Drew Wagner. There he is. It is the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.